Welcome back. In this lesson, we're building a sub bass from scratch in Ableton Live 12 for jungle and old school drum and bass vibes, and we're doing it the right way. Clean, mono, tuned, and locked to the break. Now, before we even load a synth, I want you thinking like a drum and bass engineer, not just a sound designer. In this style, the sub is not some background layer you slap on at the end. It is the engine. It's the weight. It's what makes the drums feel dangerous and hypnotic. And if the sub is off, even slightly, the whole tune can feel small no matter how hard the break is hitting. So the first rule is simple. Separate the roles of the kick, the break, and the sub before you start tweaking anything. If all three are trying to occupy the same moment, the low end gets smaller, not bigger. That's one of the biggest mindset shifts in jungle production. Let's set up the session. I'd recommend working around 160 to 174 BPM, depending on whether you're leaning more jungle or more old school DNB. Keep it in 4/4. If you're importing break samples, worry about warp settings there, but for the sub instrument itself, just keep things straightforward. And while you're building, aim for a master peak around -6 dB. Give yourself headroom. You'll thank yourself later. Get a few tracks set up early. I like to have the drum break track, the sub bass MIDI track, a mid-bass or a Reese track if I'm planning one, and an FX or atmosphere track. That way, you write the sub against the drums, not in isolation. That's huge. Don't trust solo mode. A sub that sounds enormous by itself can disappear the second the break, ride, and effects come in. Now let's build the instrument. For a really clean foundation, use operator. This is the best starting point for a true sub. Load operator on the sub track, then turn oscillator B, C, and D off. Set oscillator A to a sine wave. Keep it mono. Keep it simple, and don't get clever too early. Jungle subs should feel like the floor is moving, not like a synth lead trying to show off. Set voices to 1. Keep glide off at first. Leave the filter off for now. The point is to get an ultra-pure low-end source. If you start with a complicated patch, you'll spend the rest of the session fighting it. Now tune it to the track. This part matters way more than people think. A lot of bass problems in DNB are really tuning problems wearing a plug-in costume. If your tune is in F minor, G minor, A minor, those root notes often work beautifully for this style. But listen carefully to the relationship between the bass and the drums. If the kick and bass are muddy, adjust the note choice before you reach for processing. In jungle and old school DNB, the sub often works best when it follows root notes, fifths, octave jumps, and little passing notes that answer the break. A sub that just drones on one note can work, sure, but when it starts talking to the drums, that's when it comes alive. This is rhythmic music. Treat the low end as part of the conversation. So now write a proper bass pattern. Think in phrases, not just loops. A classic approach is one bar question, one bar answer, or a two bar loop with variation. Use long notes on beat 1, short pickups before beat 3, little syncopated moves after the snare, and maybe a note leading into the next bar. Here's the vibe. In bar 1, maybe the root note hits on beat 1, then there's a short movement near beat 3. In bar 2, maybe the root comes in on an offbeat, jumps briefly to the fifth, then drops back down. That kind of phrasing makes the bass feel like it's dancing with the break, not just sitting underneath it. And here's a very important coach note. If your break is busy and chopped, the sub needs to leave room for it. Use longer notes under quieter parts of the break, and shorter notes when the break gets dense. Let the drums win the transient war. The sub should support and reinforce, not smear everything together. Now shape the envelope a little. Even a sine wave benefits from subtle envelope control. In operator, use a very short attack, a short decay if needed, full or near full sustain, and a short but not clicky release. If it feels blurry, tighten the release or shorten the MIDI notes. If it clicks, gently lengthen the attack or smooth the start with the volume envelope. We're not making a plucky bass here. We're making a controlled low-end pressure source. Next, we want a touch of harmonics so the bass translates on smaller speakers. Pure sine is great, but in the real world, a totally clean sub can vanish on weak systems. So add saturator after operator. Start modestly, maybe 1 to 4 dB of drive, soft clip-on, output compensated so you're not fooling yourself with loudness. You want just enough extra upper harmonic content that the bass reads, but not so much that it starts sounding fuzzy or angry unless that's the goal. If you want a dirtier old-school edge, you can try drum bus lightly, but be careful. Keep the drive subtle and the boom extremely controlled, or just off. For a true sub, less is more. Overprocessing low end is a classic mistake. Then add EQ8. This is where you clean up the sub instead of overcooking it. High pass only if there's rumble below about 20 to 30 hz. Don't carve out the core fundamental. If the sub feels boxy, gently cut somewhere around 120 to 200 hz, but avoid hollowing out the part of the spectrum where the root lives. Use the spectrum view and check where the fundamental actually sits. Watch the harmonics. Watch for unnecessary energy creeping up above 200 hz. After that, put utility at the end of the chain and make it mono. Width at 0% or very low. This is non-negotiable for jungle and DNB. True sub should be centered and stable. White sub in a club system is asking for phase problems, and phase problems make bass disappear or smear when summed to mono. Keep the real low end locked in the middle, always. Now let's talk sidechain, because in drum and bass, sidechain is not just for pump. It's for making room in the low end. Add compressor to the sub track and sidechain it from the kick. Start with a fast attack, maybe 1 to 5 milliseconds. Release around 40 to 90 milliseconds, and a ratio around 2 to 1 or 4 to 1. Set the threshold so the kick causes a clear dip, but not a huge vacuum. If your kick pattern is complicated or your break is chopped and syncopated, a ghost kick trigger can be really useful. That gives you a consistent sidechain source even when the break is doing a lot of rhythmic gymnastics. And that's a big jungle trick. The break can be wild, but the low-end ducking still feels controlled. Now, if you need more presence, layer carefully. This is where a lot of producers mess it up by trying to make one layer do everything. Don't split the jobs. The true sub should be a clean sign, mono, and living below about 100 to 120 hz. Then, if you need a second layer, make it a mid-bass or presence layer that's high-passed so it doesn't fight the sub. That layer can be a wave-eatable, analog-style saw, reese, or even a dirty filtered layer. It can be a bit wider, but not the sub. Use an audio effect rack or separate tracks if you want more control. A really solid split is this. Sub layer, mono, with low pass or just natural roll off above about 100 hz. Mid layer, high pass around 100 to 150 hz, with more character and maybe more stereo. That way, your low end stays disciplined and your bass still translates on smaller speakers. Now let's make it feel like jungle and not techno. This is about arrangement and phrasing. Jungle bass movement often works through call and response with the break. You can use little note stabs between drum fills. One note sustains under a fill, then a drop into a movement phrase, or a quick glide into the root note before the snare lands. Octave drops at the end of a four-bar phrase can hit really hard too. Think in sections. Maybe bars 1 to 4 are mostly break and atmosphere, with only hints of sub. Bars 5 to 8 bring in the full bass line. Bars 9 to 12 introduce variation, like a note drop or a response phrase. Bars 13 to 16 set up tension with a break and a fill. That kind of energy shaping makes the track feel composed, not looped. A very useful advanced trick is ghost note sub phrasing. Add tiny ghost notes before a snare, before a fill, or into the first note of a new phrase. Keep them super low and level. The goal is not to hear a separate bass line, it's to imply motion. Another nice move is two-layer timing offsets. Duplicate the sub pattern and make a second layer slightly delayed, filtered harder, and lower in level. That can create a subtle way trail behind the main note, especially for atmospheric jungle. You can also use octave drops as punctuation rather than constant movement. At the end of every four bars, or right before a fill, or right into a drop, let the bass fall an octave. That gives impact without making the line too busy. And here's something a lot of people overlook. Sub movement is not just about sound design, it's about arrangement. In this genre, the sub line often changes energy by how often it appears, not just by how it sounds. So don't keep it equally loud and active the whole time. Let it breathe, let it disappear in places. When it comes back, the impact feels bigger. If you want more grit, you can create a parallel harmonics bus. Keep the main sub clean, and duplicate it or send it to a second chain with a Q8 high passing around 120 hz, then saturator, maybe redux for extra bite, maybe a tiny bit of amp or pedal if you want character. Blend that under the clean sub until the bass reads on smaller speakers without turning fuzzy. Another thing to watch is low-end resonance. If one note in the bass line jumps out way too much, don't just flatten the whole thing with EQ. Check the tuning, test a different octave, or change the note choice. In DNB, one runaway note can wreck the groove more than a weak overall tone. Also, if the low end feels late, Check the MIDI note length before you add more plugins. Sometimes the problem is simply that notes are overlapping kick transients. Tightening the MIDI can fix what would otherwise send you down a rabbit hole of unnecessary processing. Now let's do a quick practical exercise. Set your tempo to 170 BPM. Load a chopped amen or similar break. Build the sub with operator, EQ8, saturator, and utility. Write a 2-bar MIDI pattern with a root note on bar 1 beat 1, a short syncopated note before beat 3, and a fifth or octave movement in bar 2. Add sidechain compression from the kick. Check it in mono. Then make 3 versions: a clean sub, a slightly driven sub, and a version with a brief glide into the root. Try all 3 over the same break without changing the drums. That challenge is important because it forces you to make smart bass decisions instead of hiding behind arrangement tricks. If all 3 versions work, you're on the right path.